Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Ayin Beis. Don't forget to click the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Gemara will be beginning from the middle of this rather short Omid of Gemara, Daf Ayin Beis. You'll notice an expression that's found in a firebox. A firebox is a marking, which is a squiggle line that forms a box around a given expression, which will preoccupy the Gemara for a rather long amount of time. In this case, you can see from the topic heading provided on the side of our the outside margin, the Nosei. Nosei represents the topic. It lasts till Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, a rather long topic when you look at things daf-wise. The topic is V'nivdalu Baruba. We saw in our Mishnah that a singular problematic animal, if it gets mixed up with a large amount of kosher sacrifices, the singular problematic animal can ruin the entire herd, the entire mixture, the entire group of animals, even though the overwhelming majority happen to be of an okay, of a kosher, of an acceptable nature. The Gemara asks the very obvious question, why don't you say that it becomes voided in the majority, that the problematic animal becomes voided in the majority? And the concept of follow the majority is based on a pasuk that says, Achrei Rabin Lahatos, that one should follow the majority. So why do we not say, why don't we say that the identity of the majority identifies and establishes the halachic status of the entire group, even though there was a problem that got mixed into it? This is presented by our Gemara by a long question. And you can see the length of the question is indicated by the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. And you'll notice that this question essentially goes to the bottom of Amud Beis, at which point Omar Rav Papa will offer his answer. However, before we get to that, we must add a great deal by way of introduction, because as we start reading the Gemara, there are certain assumptions that the Gemara makes. So, first of all, the concept of bittul barov, of something becoming voided, a problem becoming voided in a majority of kosher items, this concept has its restrictions. There are times that we don't say that, where we don't say that the minority becomes voided. And when we speak about a minority, we're talking in our sugya even about an extreme minority, even one amongst 10,000, for example, as we saw in the Mishnah. Under what circumstances might we hesitate to say that it becomes batel? That would be in a case where the problematic item is classified as choshev, as important or significant. The question is, what determines importance or significance? So as far as determining that, there are several opinions. We will see a machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. The Chachamim, for the time being, is not the shita, is not the opinion that we will be preoccupied with. Their concept of something that's important that does not, that say, resists voiding, is limited to 6 items, and Rabbi Akiva adds a 7th item. But as far as our discussion right now is concerned, we're going to be focusing on Shitas Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is found in a Tanaic source, and his name appears on the second line from the top of Amud Beis, and he presents himself. His sheet is presented on the third line from the top of Amud Beis, where the expression appears, Shehoya Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Shedarkoi Limnos. We will notice that the word Kol in our markings, if you have Amud Beis in front of you, is highlighted with a dashed diagonally dashed underline. Kol shedarkei linos. What is it that determines importance and hence would resist becoming void in a mixture? Well, if it's something that is counted individually, especially in a sale, if someone comes to buy something, is the item sold on an individual basis? That's the expression that's implied by kol shedarko limnos. However, there is a machlokes amoroi between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in what the actual text of this Tanaic source should be. One version, and that's of Reish Lakish, Reb Shimon Lakish, he in fact preserves the text as it is, kol shedarko limnos, which means any item that at times is sold individually, even though there are times that that very same item might be sold as part of an estimated quantity, but most of the time it's sold individually, whereby the exact number of items in a particular lot is noted. There is another approach that says es shedarkoi limnos. That's the opinion of Reb Yochanan. Namely, that even though in the Tanaic source, under Rabbi Meir's name, the expression kol shedarko limnos appears, Rabbi Yochanan has a different version of what Rabbi Meir actually said. He says, es shedarko limnos. And by way of mnemonic, and don't take it any more serious than that, we look at the word es and imagine the corruption of the word exclusive, and we would say exclusively sold individually. So that's a good way to remember this opinion called es shedarko limnos. Items that are exclusively, or if you pronounce it more accurately, exclusively sold individually. In other words, a type of item that you'll never find sold as in an estimated form in a lot form. Let's take a look for a moment at animals, because that's really the topic of our discussion. How are animals sold? Are they sold exclusively by individual number, by numbering them 1, 2, 3? I'm selling you 25 animals and we count out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Or let us present a more accurate example. Let us say that I'm selling you a herd of animals. Is the herd sold by counting out individual animals, or is it sold by an approximation? When one looks at the herd, he knows what the approximate number of animals in that herd is, and he will pay money for it by the herd, not knowing exactly how many animals there are. So the truth is that in fact is the way animals are sold. Namely, most of the time people will count out how many animals are being sold, but at times people will buy a herd of animals, not paying attention to the exact number of animals that are in there. That will be an example of kol shedarkoi limnos. Therefore, if importance is defined by es shedarkoi limnos, items, only those kind of items that are sold exclusively individually, animals would not fall under that importance, fall under that definition of importance, of significance. Therefore, since an animal, according to that approach, the Rabbi Yochanan approach, that says es shedarko limnos, only those are considered significant and hence not batel, animals would be batel. Animals ought to lend themselves to becoming void in a majority of allowed items. Allowed animals. Let's now approach the Gemara, bearing all of this introduction in mind. V'niftalu beruba. Why don't we say that the problematic animal, we saw in our Mishnah all kinds of problematic animals, that if they're, in the beginning of the Mishnah, we saw if you had an Isser Hano animal getting mixed up in 10,000 kosher sacrifices, they're all set out to die. Well, why do you say that? Why not just say that the one problematic animal is voided in the mixture of acceptable animals? After all, there is a pasuk that says, Acharei Rabim Lahatois. V'chitema, you might say, well, chashivi velo batli, the an animal is important, and therefore, as a result of being classified as important, since animals are things that are in fact counted individually, therefore they having this label of importance, they don't lend themselves to becoming void in a lot of or a group of acceptable animals. Well, as far as defining an animal as choshuv based on this concept of counted individually, ha-nicha, I can understand that there will be no bittul. L'madomar kol shedargoi limnos shaninu. According to the opinion, which we'll see later, is in fact Reish Lakish that says, what defines importance? Those types of things that at times are sold individually. That's what this expression of kol shedargoi limnos means. Things that at times may be sold individually. Elo laman diomar, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, who will appear also on Omid Beis, that says importance is defined as follows. Es shedarko limnos shoninu. The expression shoninu means, as is taught in the Tanaic source under the name Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, who has as his text for Rabbi Meir, Es shedarko limnos, which, as we said before, refers to what is defined as important, things that are exclusively sold individually, my ikolamemar. Then how are you going to explain why we don't see bittul taking place? After all, animals, as Rashi points out, are not always sold individually. They are transferred sometimes as a herd without paying attention to the specific number, the exact number of heads of cattle that are in that herd. So the question of my ikolo meimar is, why is it that there is no bittul? Why does our Mishnah say that even one animal that's problematic can prohibit aser an entire, even 10,000 muter animals? Notice we have a brackets that begins here. This is a rather long bracketed section. The reason for these brackets, first of all, let's take note of their length. So we have a length indicator, and this is indicated by the vertical dash dotted line that you find written into the left-hand side of the, to the left of the Gemara text. It continues down, all the way down, Omid Beis, till the second line from the bottom, continuing on the outside, namely on the left-hand side of the Gemara text, you could see that it reaches the second line from the bottom, where Rapopo enters the picture. So if we look at the note that we often add to explain our use of brackets in the Gemara marking system, you'll notice a starred note in the inside margin, and let's read that. Tam lasagram, the reason for these brackets. The ad kan ikur hashela, until this point, the main question has been asked, and simply is, according to the Man d'Omar, that says that there is no bittul only concerning es shedarko limnos items, and behemoths don't fall under that category. Why is it that there is no bittul? Why does our Mishnah tell us there's no bittul? So the Ikra question has been raised. But so Hasograim, our note goes on to say, HaGemora Mevi'a Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the Gemara will present those opinions. Shehem Shnei Deos Elu, they are the authors of these two opinions. These are the Man d'Omar expressions that we have squiggle underlined in front of us. Those, namely Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, are the two opinions. V'hamishneh she'alav mevusas machlokosam. And in the brackets we'll also have the Tanaic source upon which their controversy, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is based. Acharei hasograim yofiu Rav Papa. After the bracketed section, Rav Papa will appear, and Ubedav Samach Gimel Amalaf Rav Ashi, he will also appear. Shemazbirim loma mishnosenu ba'de'ah she'ein bittul. Why is it that our Mishnah is of the opinion that there is no bittul? And once again, we're going to use their explanations with bearing in mind or keeping in mind Shitas Rav Yochanan, that on the face of things, since we're dealing with animals, and animals are not sold exclusively by unit, therefore there should be bittul. With all that introduction in mind, if we were to skip momentarily to Rav Papa, you would see how Rav Papa comes and answers this question. So we skip for a moment. Omar Rav Papa, Hi, Tana, the author of our Mishnah that holds that there is no bittul is a unique Tanaic opinion who's known as Tana the Litra Ktziosu. He is the author of the idea dealing with Litra Ktzios, which is a quantity of dried figs, which is can really only be understood by seeing the Tanaic source on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. And in fact, it will be Shitas Rabbi Yeshua, as is understood by Rabbi Yehuda. It's really a combination of names in order to eventually get to understanding or identifying who this is, this Tano de Litra Ktzios. Anyway, he holds that, and as Rapopa presents it, he says that that Tana holds the Omar Kol Dovar, this reading at the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, Kol Dovar Sheesh Bo Minyan Afilu B'Darabonan Lo Botil V'Kol Shekein B'Daraisa. And if we glance at Rashi there at the top, Kol Dovar Sheesh Bo Minyan, meaning Kol Shedarko Limnois Klal, something that is counted at some time, even if at a rare time it's counted. Going litrois shel ktzios. Ktzios are dried figs. Litrois apparently is a quantity, a type of standard quantity of these dried figs. Sheroiv b'nei adam ein moichrin b'minyan. These litrois shel ktzios are not sold individually. Elodorsin oisoi b'eagle. What happens with these dried figs is that these are basically pressed into a vessel called an eagle. An eagle is a type of disc container, maybe we could call it a barrel, into which these dried figs are pressed. Umocher kol eagle yachad. The way these things were sold, they were sold these eagles, these discs of pressed figs were sold, and in each disc there were numerous litros shel ktzios. So the drying of the figs was done in such a way with a type of standard measure of figs were dried. Each litra of figs were dried, but when it came to the market, what happened was is that people, the we'll call it the producers of these dried figs, would take the figs, press them together. Many litros would be pressed together into an eagle, and the eagle was sold. However, hoyel upa'omim shemoinim halitros levad, since at times, on rare occasions, the litros were counted out individually, lemochron b'minyan, to be sold by unit, each litros sold separately, that classifies them as important according to this opinion, namely the opinion that we are calling Tana Litra Ktzios. It's really Rabbi Yoshua as is presented by Rabbi Yehuda, and all of that information will become clear on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. There will be another approach to why is there no bittul, and that's found by looking at Rav Ashi, who's on the lower part of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, where he says, Afilu Teimo Rabbonon, you don't have to fall back onto this individual opinion of Tana the Litra Ktzios, but even when you're dealing with the Rabbonon, the opinion of the rabbis, they hold Bali Chaim Chashivi Velo Batli. Living creatures have their own inherent significance. And as a result of that, regardless of whether they're sold by lot or sold individually, the very fact that there are live creatures, that grants them their own importance. And as a result of that, our Mishnah is not, as a result of Rav Ashi's approach, our Mishnah doesn't have to be limited to being authored by Rabbi Yeshua as according to Rabbi Yehuda, but rather it can represent a more inclusive opinion, the opinion of the Rabbonon, that grant special importance status to Baalei Chaim, and hence there is no bittul. Let us now turn back to the Gemara in Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. We go back to the question stage of things, and we can, for the sake of review of our introduction, we can also take advantage of the note we have in our outside margin. We have a tat nosei, a subtopic. Shtei deos b'Rebbe Meir on Omid Beis, two opinions explaining Rebbe Meir on the next Omen of Gemara. Mosai Amrinon de Isereinu Botel. When is it, or under what circumstances do we say that that which is forbidden does not become voided in a mixture? Two opinions. One is Kol Shadarko Linos. That's a that represents Shitas Reish Lakish, that says items that at times are sold individually, that grants such items as classified as significant. And B, S Shadarko Linos, those items and only those items that are sold exclusively individually. Only those kind of items will not lend themselves to bittul, to becoming void in a mixture. So, as we turn back to our Gemara, we're at the bracketed section, the second line from the bottom. After the Gemara asked, "My equal omeimar, why is there no bittul?" Here is now all of the background. Disnan. The following Tanaic source, Mishahoyu lo chavile tilson shokile hakerem, someone who has bundles of tilson, a type of vegetation that grew in a vineyard. This is a problem of mixing of plants, and as a result of that, if the tilson grows in a vineyard, it becomes classified as kilei hakerem, which is something that's forbidden to benefit from. What happens if you have these bundles, chavile tilson, bundles of tilson that grew in a vineyard? Yidliku. They are to be burnt. Nisarhu b'achirim. Let's say the bundles of tilson that grew in the vineyard got mixed up with other bundles of legitimate tilson. Kulan yidliku, divrei Rebbe Meir. They are all to be burnt. V'chachomim omrim ya'alu be'echad u'masayim. The Rabbanan hold, the Chachamim say that if you have 200 times the amount of Isser in the form of Heter, in other words, if you have 200 times allowed Tilson, and this one bundle, which is 1/200th of the allowed, the one, the usher one, the prohibited one, represents a mere 1/200th, then the Chachamim say it will be voided, and and you can benefit from the mixture. Shehoya Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Shedarkoi Limnois Mekadesh. The word Mekadesh ironically means ruins, as far as our sugya is concerned. Rabbi Meir says that items that are sold individually, Darko Limnos, that is customary to count them out one by one, that grants it significance, and hence there is no bittul, there is no voiding. We've written in between the lines a note that Hagdora Zu Shonri B'machlokes Rabbi Yochanan V'Reish Lakish L'Kamon. This definition of importance is the subject of a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan V'Reish Lakish that we'll be seeing later, but we featured already in our introduction. V'chachomim Omrim, the balance of this Tanaic source is not really to be emphasized as far as our shiur today is concerned. The Chachomim say, Eino Mekadesh Elo Shisho Dvorim Bilvad. This idea of something creating prohibition, even though it's found in a mixture of many more times of allowed substance, this idea applies only with regard to six things. Six things have that sufficient level of significance that would cause them to resist becoming voided. Rabbi Kiva Omer Shiva. Rabbi Kiva adds a seventh item. The Eluhain, these are the significant items that even if they're found in a much larger group of allowed versions, allowed substances, the entire mixture will be rendered unfit. And they are, 1. Egoze Perech, 2. Rimone Badon, 3. Chovios Stumos, those are sealed barrels of wine. If you have, let's say, a forbidden wine that gets mixed up with other barrels of Heter wine, even if there are thousands of barrels of Heter wine, all of them will be rendered unfit because of the presence of the forbidden barrel. The Chilfei Tradin, the Kilche Kruv, and 6. Vidala Sivonis. We are not translating these items because the strict definition or translation is not of significance as far as our understanding of the sugya. Rabbi Akiva Moisif, he adds a seventh item, af kikros shel balabayas, even loaves, baked loaves that are mass produced. But balabayas represents a private person's loaf. If he has, if there's a privately produced problematic loaf of bread and it gets mixed up with many loaves of heter bread, the entire lot will become usser. Haroi la'or la'or la, amongst this group of items that were mentioned, there were different types of vegetation that were mentioned. Orla is a halacha that applies to trees. Trees in their first 3 years of growth, the fruit that grows on trees that are up till 3 years old, are labeled orla. So in this group of items mentioned, we had egoze perech, for example, and rimone baton. These are things that grow from trees. So their problem would be an orla problem. If you had, let us say, rimone baton that grew from a tree under 3 years old, and that rimone, that pomegranate, got mixed up with thousands of other kinds of pomegranates, it would render the entire lot forbidden. Horoi l'kila akerim, kila akerim. And those items that are mentioned in this list that lend themselves to becoming prohibited by virtue of their growing in a vineyard, so that would be a kila hakerim problem. But that too is forbidden to benefit from, and hence, if you had, let us say, chilfei treden, that would be something that lends itself to becoming forbidden by having grown in a vineyard, even though it's found in a mixture of many, many times heter substance, the entire lot will be rendered unfit. The Itmar Allah, and concerning this source, it has been stated, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Es Shadarko Limnos Shonino. Notice, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This is pointing up to where Rabbi Meir's Shita, where Rabbi Meir's opinion appeared in the source, and Rabbi Yochanan says that what is considered important according to Rabbi Meir, you would read S instead of Kol, you read S Shadak Alumnus, which indicates those items that are sold exclusively by number and never as simply a general sale of a group of or a lot of a particular item. Reb Shimon Lakish says, what is the definition of something that's significant? Kol Shadarko Limnos Shoninu. What Rabbi Meir is teaching is things that are at times sold individually. Are animals sold at times individually? Yes, they are. And as such, since at times they are sold individually, Reish Lakish, as he understands Rabbi Meir, would tell you that they are not botel, and hence we can understand why our Mishnah said that there was no bittel, there was no voiding in the majority. So the Gemara says, Honicha the Reish Lakish. We understand the idea expressed by our Mishnah that there is no bittel. That works out well according to Reish Lakish. Elo Rabbi Yochanan, my ikol lemeimar. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says, in interpreting Rabbi Meir, that there, when is it that there is no bittel? Only items that are sold exclusively individually. But animals, at times, are sold in herds, where the vendor is not paying attention to the individual number of animals. And as such, animals don't have significance. They don't have chashivus. And that being the case, why is it that there is no bittel? Omar Rav Papa. Hi Tana, our Mishnah that says there's no bittel, Tana de Litruk Tziosu, it is the Tana found in this source dealing with pressed figs, and specifically it will be Rabbi Yeshua, Alibid Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua as interpreted by Rabbi Yehuda, on Daf Ayin Gimel Amad Aleph, de Omar, who holds, Kol Davar, Shiesh Bo Minyan, Afilu Bidrabonan, an item that even at rare times is sold individually, even if you're dealing with a rabbinic prohibition, lo botil, it does not lend itself to being voided, the kol shekein bedoraisa, and certainly in a situation where we have an Isur Doraisa, as a Torah prohibition, as is the case with our Mishnah that deals with Psulei Korban, things that are unfit for sale, for offering on the Mizbeach. So that particular opinion of Tana, the Litra Ksios, says that things like that will resist becoming voided in a mixture. So since even since animals certainly fall under this category, they will not be batel. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.